The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Everybody has the potential for greatness inside of them. It might be a new career you seek, a better relationship and home life, or something entirely different. No matter what that goal is, if you set your mind to it, you can make it happen. Welcome to Your Authentic Life with your host, Susan Cranston. In today's show, you'll take away some great tips, resources, and stories designed to spark the idea to achieve your dreams. Now, here is Susan Cranston.
Hello, and welcome to Your Authentic Life here on the Empowerment Channel of Voice America. This is the premier show, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you here listening in today. And the topic of our show is really on the impact of conditioning and the power of potential. And what I believe is that everyone has greatness inside of them. And whether we recognize it at the surface level of our thoughts, we somehow connect with this truth at a subconscious level. And that's, you know, why I believe that there have been just a plethora of superhero movies out there and why people resonate with them. Because I really believe that, you know, we truly connect with the power of our infinite potential that lies sometimes deep inside of us. And we want to be hopeful and have that curiosity that we had when we were children. Because when we were little, the world seemed like it was our oyster, where everything was possible. And somewhere deep inside of us, we still want to find a way to rekindle this magic and sprinkle some of that pixie dust and let our dreams soar without boundaries. And you know, there was a time when we dreamed of being, maybe it was an astronaut or a ballerina, a firefighter, or whatever else our heart or mind desired. And we didn't put limits on our dreams. That came later. And that's really the nature of our show today. And I am so pleased to have Derek Sweet, who is the founder of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Corporation. He's also the CEO and founder of Certified Coaches Federation. He's also my coach. He's been a lighthouse for me in terms of my career development as a master coach through CCF. And he is also the author of three highly celebrated books: Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, Get the Most Out of Life, and You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven. So, Derek, I'm so pleased you're here, and I hope this is a topic that you and I will be able to dive into and really be able to share with our listeners some practical tips, some tools, and how to address the impact of past conditioning and how we can really unleash things for them to manifest their pure potential. So what do you say to that, Derek?
Just ready to go.
I thought I heard you laughing on that one. Hopefully we can sprinkle some on everyone today. So what do you think stops people from really, you know, living their dreams or, you know, looking for that pixie dust in their life?
Holy smokes. That is a good topic. I can't think of a better topic because it's so common. You know, Benjamin Franklin said it best, I think, all those years ago. He said, most people die at 25 and don't get buried until they're 75. And since 1999, our company's been focused on helping people get out of their own way and remove those past conditionings, those past beliefs that kept people small. There's a lot of reasons why people hold back, but if you want to get to the real core of it, we're going to do that today.
And I think that's so true. One of the quotes that really connected with me, aside from the one you just shared, is one by Audrey Hepburn. And she said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. And it's just really the mind that constricts our ability to think beyond what it is that we might be able to do. And so what do you think are the consequences of when we don't do this? And I know in your role and the work you do, developing your organizations and, you know, the coaches that work through CCF, What do you think really is a big inhibitor for people when it comes to past conditioning, and how does it affect a person's self-worth and their self-respect?
We go through life, we get to a certain point in life when we stop thinking and we start reacting. And the reacting basically is the conditioned responses we've had in the days before. And eventually we kind of run on what we call auto-trance, which is basically repeating the same mantras we repeated yesterday, good and bad, the same feelings and the same beliefs and expectations that we've always had, even though some of them may take us further away from where we want to go. And the way the brain has been designed, it's been designed to be efficient. And to be efficient back 10,000 years ago when we were on the plains, when we saw something in the distance that looked large, we'd run to avoid.
That's right, fight or flight.
Yeah. Well, that same system is still in our brains. And unfortunately for most people, it's still calling the shots. Well, about 70,000 years ago, our brain evolved and we developed something called the prefrontal cortex. The magic of the prefrontal cortex means we can theoretically stop, pause, and reflect and make better choices. And when that becomes a habit, oh, life becomes bliss. We know what it's like to have pixie dust. And the pixie dust you mentioned comes in the form of our awareness, first of all. We become aware of this moment and what's possible in this moment. And we become aware of the quality of our thoughts. And we become aware of the fact that every single thought has a subjective and a cognitive value and an emotional value. So when we start to only choose the thoughts that are aligned with what we'd like to experience in this moment, well, we have the beginning of a recipe for pixie dust.
We sure do. And it's, you know, it relates to the law of attraction. Like attracts like. So if you have positive thoughts, if you're thinking good thoughts about yourself and good thoughts about others, that's just going to create a real wonderful momentum. But the reverse is also true. And although we are not our thoughts, we are the thinker of our thoughts, and they are powerful. I saw a quote, and it was on the back of a t-shirt, and it said, if you spoke to your friends the way you speak to yourself, you might not have any friends left. And in many cases, you know, we think thoughts about ourselves that are really, really inhibiting and mentally destructing, which leads to a buildup of emotional toxicity and physical toxicity. So it really aligns with what you're saying around, you know, that fight or flight syndrome.
You just reminded me, I heard something similar the other day, which was if your thoughts were broadcasted out loud 24/7, people would think you're nuts. I think
well, let's try not. I think you're right. There sure is. So when we look at the role of a coach, and particularly the reason that, you know, you started CCF back in 2009, what can a coach do to help someone break through some of this past conditioning? Or as I'd like to say, sort of remove some of the layers of dirt that build up in our view of the way we see the world.
Well, the first thing, and this may sound over simplistic, but the one thing we discover as we age and we start to pay attention, it's not the complication that is what we're looking for, it's the simplicity. It's the removal of all the things that are non-essential to the process. In this case, it begins with, talk about simple, breathing. Taking a full breath in through your nose, expanding your diaphragm. And what that does is it allows you to pause, reflect, and really be aware of this moment and what you're producing in this moment. Not only that, it's also a parasympathetic response, which is that part of the way you operate that is calming and it feels good and it's all more serene than that fight or flight response. So yeah, to breathe. And the more we make a habit of breathing, the more awareness we bring to this moment. And the more awareness we bring to this moment, the better choices we can make. And equally important, we can correct course when we're not experiencing the kind of moment, the kind of thought, the kind of mood that is essential to us. And when you can make that a habit, again, if we go back to how the mind works on simplicity, and the mind generalizes. Can I give you an example?
Yes, please do. I'm just practicing breathing and staying nice and calm now. Thank you.
Good. Okay, here we go. And you may have heard this before, but it's not that commonly known. Let's just say I have, and I think we're going to give away a prize for whoever gets the correct answer. And the prize, by the way, is my audio book, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We can figure out how to get that to your viewers, your listeners afterwards. But anyway, here's the question. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. I have a bat, a baseball bat, and a ball. I have a baseball bat and a ball. I paid $1.10 for the baseball bat and the ball. Okay, I paid $1.10 for the baseball bat and the ball. I paid $1 more for the bat than the ball. The question is, how much did I pay for the ball?
I'm not supposed to answer this, right? This is for our callers.
Well, you know the answer. And, okay, yeah. Listeners, go ahead and write down your answer. Just shout it out if you're in your car. And you probably shouted out 10 cents. Well, that's what most people would shout out. But the actual answer is 5 cents. Okay? And that's an example of how we generalize, how we, even though in that moment there's other choices available, we do what looks the most familiar from an unconscious level, not consciously. Most of the decisions we make every single day are happening unconsciously because we've repeated them. We look for familiar parts of the equation. And if it's to be afraid, if it's to be anxious, if it's to be judgmental, well, if we're not aware, if we're not breathing, if we're not slowing down, that's what we're likely to do.
And it's a matter of, you know, if you can actually, in some sense, and I don't mean this literally, but almost step outside of yourself so that you're observing what's happening in the moment. And just to, you know, build on what you said, listen to your body, because your body never lies. And your body will tell you if something doesn't feel right, if there's a yuck to it or a yumminess to it. It's whether or not we, you know, push that aside or rationalize that we need to soldier through or to continue in a way that perhaps isn't enriching or healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that past conditioning really plays into that, right? Because it's, you know, we continue to do what we've always done based on what we've been told, what we've grown to know, and whether or not those are healthy choices.
A lot of us make the mistake of identifying ourselves with the experiences we've had. For example, as you know, a lot of people are afraid of public speaking. And they make the mistake of saying, I am whatever they've experienced that time. And that's pretty much a permanent label. I am this. When in fact the reality is I experienced this. And when you begin to understand the difference between the two, wow, you have the beginning of a possibility of happening that's more consistent with your intentions. And it comes back to what you said previously, detachment. It's important that we learn to detach from our past. And it's also important to detach ourselves from our thoughts. We have thoughts. We're not our thoughts. And that awareness itself is so liberating, to understand that when you're having a thought, and if it's not a thought that's consistent with your intentions, you can just correct and say, oh, that's an old pattern. That's silly. And you mm-hmm. automatically correct it. You're not your thoughts. Likewise, you're not your feelings you're experiencing. You're not your mood you're experiencing. However, your mood is reflecting your thought patterns. And the thing about it is, if you're not aware of your thoughts and your feelings or moods, well, what happens is they have children. And those children are called beliefs and expectations. And yes. They work as a unit, creating your reactions to life, whatever's going on. And the reality is, because most people are oblivious to this process, they're not pausing and responding in a way that's consistent with their intention. They're reacting based on what their beliefs and expectations have determined what's possible in this moment. And what's possible in this moment is, you got it, whatever the habit is.
Yeah, whatever the habit is, but if you're in a situation, let's say you and I are talking, we've known each other for many years, and I know your trigger points, so I can, you know, push your buttons. And because I know how to do that, what is your thought on how much more difficult it becomes to be detached and be that, what I say, in a state of curious detachment?
Well, based on what you just said, I think of the most intimate relationships where that would happen. Typically, either it's a business relationship or a marriage where someone knows your hot buttons and knows how to push them perhaps more effectively than other people. I think if that's the case and the relationship isn't going the way you want it to, there's only one beginning step to take to change things, and that's to be honest and just to be vulnerable with your partner and say, look, when you say that, it causes me to feel angry or not valued or whatever the feeling is at the time. And, you know, it's not really where we want to go. I think both of us, when we got into this marriage, agreed that we would support one another, we would nurture one another, and we would inspire one another. So when you say to me, you never do the dishes or whatever it is, you know, that's not consistent. So can we have some new agreements here that you empower you to get your point across, but also don't get in the way of what it is we'd like to experience, what we'd like to create. Is that possible?
And then I either have a choice, you know, because we're role-playing here, to say yes or no. And that will take us down another path in terms of the nature of the conversation.
Yeah. I don't think...
And that... Sorry?
I don't think anyone wants to be mean or negative. I think it just becomes a habit, or fearful for that matter.
And a lot of that can, you know, in that state of vulnerability where you can, if you're able to sort of step outside of yourself to say, you know, I know this is because of some past conditioning that I've had and I need some help. Can you help me with this? Or help even identify when you see me going down that path.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And another thought that's on the same page here is, as far as moving into the kind of life that has no limitations, as far as people are concerned, obviously we're social animals and people are, relationships are important. But when you shift your perspective from trying to impress people or trying to please people to serve and connect with people, allowing you to utilize your greatest assets, your greatest skills, life takes on a whole new feeling as well. And wherever I go, my goal is never to impress anybody, but to connect with people on the things that are important in this moment. Now, in our case today, it's simply talking about how we can live life to the fullest, uninterrupted by anything from the past that used to hold us back.
Exactly. And there's so much more that I want to explore with you, particularly around some of these communication challenges. And I know that, you know, there's this whole element of vulnerability that comes into play when we're dealing with this past conditioning. And when we're able to face that and look at life with a sense of abundance, which is what you've been talking about. And really, abundance to me means this pixie dust and how that really transforms the way we view ourselves and the way we view the connection we have to everyone else. And so I really want to be able to explore that in greater detail with you when we come back from the break. And we're just going to take about a 30-second break, and we'll be back with Derek Sweet to explore this in greater detail. So please stay tuned in. You're listening to Susan Cranston and Derek Sweet on Your Authentic Life.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Work with Susan Cranston as your personal coach. Live your purpose and breathe life into the dreams you've kept hidden away for too long. Bring deeper fulfillment and contentment to each day. Learn ways to nourish your mind, body, and spirit connection. It's time to begin your journey today. Reach out to Susan today at 226-989-7533. Or visit SusanCranston.com. Susan is a master life coach and an Ayurvedic lifestyle practitioner and meditation teacher who is certified with the Chopra Center University in California. Visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533. When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Your Authentic Life with Susan Cranston. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to AuthenticaConsulting@gmail.com. That's AUTHENTIKA consulting@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's edition of Your Authentic Life.
Hi, welcome back to Your Authentic Life. I'm your host, Susan Cranston, here on Voice America's Empowerment Channel. And I'm so pleased to have Derek Sweet here as my first guest of the show. And we've been talking about conscious communication and the impact that past conditioning has on the pure potential we have for greatness in our life and really pursuing our dreams. And just before the break, Derek and I were discussing some of the challenges we have when people really know how to push our buttons and how challenging that can be when we struggle sometimes to really be able to observe what's happening and not just immediately react when we're in that fight or flight mode and respond based on past conditioning. So Derek, can you share some more thoughts with me, particularly around that topic and how we've been connecting the dots around this conscious communication?
You mean around being vulnerable?
Yeah, around being vulnerable and what it feels like when we're in that space of, you know, someone, you know, we were just talking role playing about a husband and wife sort of scenario where we're talking and, you know, I am in a situation where I might be able to push your buttons in a way that maybe someone else can't and how that makes it more challenging to move beyond the ability to really be that detached, curious observer.
Well, when you want to connect with people, I don't believe you can truly connect with people or the moment without being vulnerable and being present. And as you know, we've been coaching and training and certifying coaches for many years. We started Certified Coaches Federation in 2004, taught our first class in 2006, and just the month before, we reached 10,000 clients that have gone through coaches, that have gone through our program, and we have a really good name. And I'm quite pleased about that. And, you know, if you go to our website, you watch the videos. Now, obviously, we're going to have videos from people who've enjoyed the course, obviously. But there's a consistency as far as people's real authentic experience, the heartfelt impact the course had on them, which makes me feel so happy. And over the years, we've been pretty much expecting, well, that's just how the course is. People love the course. People, you know, the one constant is they get out of their own way. They learn how to have a better relationship with what I refer to as their higher self. And I think that experience wouldn't have happened unless, from my perspective, I'm vulnerable and I'm present. But, you know, as far as connecting with people, and here's the difference as far as being vulnerable is concerned. When you want to connect with people, you're no longer trying to impress people. And that means you're no longer also following the typical rules of engagement because you're being yourself and you're allowing your light to shine through on only the conditions that are important in this moment and important to you and important to what can happen in this moment. Now, as you know, you've gone through my class. My particular teaching style is laid back. I like to laugh. I don't take myself or the moment too seriously because it's all going to end too soon anyway. So we may as well enjoy it. We may as well connect with people and we may as well have a wonderful time, even if we're learning. And I believe that when you're learning, you're going to learn more effectively if you're enjoying yourself. And that's why in my classes, I am laid back and I do use a lot of laughter. So here's my story. I was following up with someone, I believe it was last week, about our course. Now, I haven't called people in quite a while. Our office does that. They get feedback because I'm busy running our various coaching programs and looking after our corporate clients. But I like to do this from time to time, and I look forward to making some calls. And there I was. I called someone, and the first ring she picked up, and I told her who I was, and I told her I was following up because she was on a recent webinar for another program we have, and I just wanted to see what her thoughts were. And right away she said, "Are you Derek Sweet?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "Good." And I thought, "Well, good." Wasn't good. Wasn't good at all. She says, "I want you to know that I didn't like your course at all." And she went, "Let me tell you," it seemed like she'd been practicing for this call every night for the last, I don't know how long it's been since she's taken our course, but she just rattled off this long list of things that's wrong with me, wrong with the course, and she didn't even like my laugh. And I forget the metaphor she used, but it was what comes to my mind, but it wasn't that metaphor, it wasn't like nails down a chalkboard. And I gotta tell you, you know, I'm pretty confident and I'm pretty secure in who I am, but that call happened at 2:30, and at 9:30 that night, I checked in with myself, and I was still feeling the negativity from that, from those really mean comments. And I was wondering, did I do something wrong? Was I, you know, I started to question myself a little bit. Was there something that I did wrong that day? And it bothered me. I have to tell you, and we spoke later on about that. It really bothered me, and here's the thing to understand. I don't wish it didn't bother me. And that's something, it's really, a lot of people, when you understand that it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to feel so much that when someone does say something mean or disrespectful, or completely, in this case, not true at all, as far as the course is concerned, it was just where she was at, it still will feel awful. Okay, and here in that moment, I thought, because of how I think, I thought, oh, what an opportunity! As she's going off on me about how bad I am and how bad the course is, I thought, what an opportunity! I'm going to find out what's really bothering her. And you know, here's the thing we say about coaching: coaching only works when both participants are accountable and showing up and being vulnerable. And she would have nothing to do with it. I said to her, I said, the only thing I could think of at the time was, do you not like to laugh? You know, are you easily agitated? And I just couldn't get anywhere with her. And I didn't salvage the call. I didn't end on a good note. I got off the phone and I was as kind as I could be. And I said, "I'm really sorry that you didn't enjoy the course." And we said goodbye, and like I said, for the next 6 hours or so, I did not feel good. I felt low. And I woke up the next morning, and I was back to myself, and I was clear-headed, and I realized that a valuable lesson came out of this, which is, you know, no matter how hard you work, and no matter how true you are to yourself and your values and your passion, no matter how aligned you are with what's important and how much consistency you have, and that's wonderful if you have it, there are still going to be people who don't like you. There's still going to be situations that don't unfold the way you want to. And the only thing that you can come back to as far as finding peace and finding and remaining in bliss is to understand that it all comes down to you remembering that you're in charge of your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, and your expectations. And if they're always aligned, then if that's the response from someone or a group of people or the world for that matter, you're still living your life on your terms. And you know, and I think I also told you this, after I had that session with that lady, I went back to our website and I had to watch a few of the video comments just to see, you know, is it a good course? And I want to share this with you, being vulnerable, because I don't care how successful someone is. You know, there's always a part of us, when we're being vulnerable, that can have our feelings hurt. and have our confidence shaken. In my case, my confidence was shaken. And, you know, fortunately I had a conversation with you afterwards, and you were so wonderful and supportive. And what you said to me after I shared with you that story, I can't even begin to tell you how much it made my day, you know?
Oh, thank you so much. I meant every word of it. And I really appreciate you sharing this story with our listeners, because I think there's something so important to that vulnerability and recognizing it. You know, my opening comments, I talked about superheroes. And with each of them, you know, there's this level of vulnerability. I wouldn't say necessarily it's an Achilles heel, but there's this element, and that's what makes them so relatable. That doesn't diminish their greatness. And for the record, I want to say, one, you have a great laugh, and it made many of the webinars that we were on even more enjoyable. And the program itself is fabulous. And so I highly recommend it for anyone who's looking to pursue a career in coaching. CCF is definitely a wonderful program. And, you know, when you think about people like that, they're showing up based on their state of consciousness. The trick, though, is how much power we give their words and whether or not it triggers that past conditioning for us, or do we, you know, say that's where they're at and, you know, there's some stuff going on for them that I don't need to own, that I don't need to take accountability for.
I also felt bad because I couldn't help her. And I've been doing this for so long and I've helped so many people. I was sure I was, you know, when she said that, I was sure I was going to be able to help her. I was sure I was going to get to the real truth that was going on, but it didn't happen. And I think that's what bothered me so much as well, the fact that I couldn't. And that is another reminder that, you know, when you start putting too much value on the external situation, you're allowing those external events, sometimes when they're negative and pretty much in general, to rob you of your power. Our power, indeed our happiness, comes from remaining internal. Remaining internal as far as coming back to how you feel right now in this moment, how you're choosing to feel, how you're choosing to think about this moment. And the mistake I made last week was I started to go external. I started to allow her experience impact my mood. And maybe I had the best of intentions and I was vulnerable, but it still was such a wonderful learning experience for me and a reminder to stay internal, to stay focused on what I can do in this moment internally. Never, ever let the external events of any situation impact your mood. And that, you know what, that's a challenge, and I think that's going to be a lifetime challenge. And I don't care how evolved we become, we will have moments when it doesn't work, for whatever reason. And we could talk about diet. As you know, part of our company, we spend a lot of time teaching people how to eat better so they can think more clearly and they can be more present. But and I think another thought that comes from that lesson is, we're a reminder, we're never finished. We're always growing. And I think the people who enjoy this life and make the biggest contributions and grow the most, I think the one perspective they have at the edge of their consciousness is, the clock's ticking. I have, what is it, 86,400 seconds today. Every one of them, if I can, I will make each second the best it can possibly be. And each second eventually, what happens is, when you have this kind of consciousness, this kind of commitment to your own evolution, that's what happens. You wake up, for the most part, most days, feeling a little bit more alive than the day before, a little bit calmer, and a little bit more confident in what you can do to make it a better day and make a bigger and better contribution, be more creative, solve more problems.
And you really touch on the concept of object versus self-referral. Well, our object is, you know, I'm looking externally. I'm looking for, you know, maybe it's this person in my life or a job that I'm going for, or a car that I want to have, or a neighborhood I want to live in to help bring me happiness, when really it's going inside. And recognizing that, you know what, you have everything you need. You're perfect as you are. And it's finding your piece of the puzzle that makes this universe what it is. Everyone's waiting for a gift that you have. And when you deny us of that, you know, we're missing out on something important. And it's connecting that message internally, which I think helps to build, you know, your supply of pixie dust. So, you know, when we think about, because you've touched on this in terms of, you know, whether it's naysayers or people, you know, not everyone's going to like you. When you are sort of on the precipice of thinking, I want to make some changes in my life. I want to move beyond my past conditioning to look at something greater, something better. Maybe I want to change careers, or maybe I want to, you know, do something new. Then how can we avoid, or how do we deal with these negative Nellies? What are some, you know, practical suggestions that you can offer up, Derek?
Well, the first step is to remember that whatever this situation is, whatever thoughts you're having, they're not you. You have a body, you have a mind, but you're not your body, you're not your mind. You have thoughts, you have feelings, but you're not your thoughts or your feelings, nor are you your beliefs and your expectations. However, you can act like a conductor. And I love this metaphor. When we realize that we have been all along the conductor of the music we're hearing, you know, and we're not conducting the strings and the brass, we're conducting our words, our feelings, our beliefs, and our expectations. And the more we make a commitment to paying attention to the music of our thoughts, is our mood in tune with our intention? Eventually what happens is, we love the sound of our life. We love what we're seeing unfold because it's in tune with our dreams. So what can you do? You can remember that detachment is the first step. Awareness is actually the first step. Detachment is the second step, I suppose. But we teach this in the Certified Coaches Federation as far as helping people change their perspective of a goal or a situation. Now, if the situation is something that's fearful or holding one back, and we all have gone through that, here's the four steps that will really make a difference. There's four critical steps in changing a relationship with a goal or an event or a relationship. And here, the four steps are, first of all, step one, it's by the way, it's cognitive reflex conditioning. It's something all our graduates go through in our course. Cognitive reflex conditioning has four steps. Step one is to recognize right now in this moment. Like here I am with you. I'm on your radio show. It's your first radio show ever. I'm so excited to be here. I mean, you know, pinch me. I'm having a wonderful time. You can probably tell I'm quite excited to be here.
I'm excited you're here too.
Now, if I wasn't, let's just say I was nervous and my thoughts were, oh my God, I'm on the radio. And for whatever kind of dialogue that would keep me from allowing my own light to shine with you and your listeners. If that happens, step one is to recognize, oh, I'm nervous, or oh, I'm not really engaged, or oh, I'm not really present. Well, step two naturally follows, which is to realize. To realize. That's, again, awareness. Is this consistent with what my intention is for being on Susan's radio show today? No. Well, what is? To enjoy myself, to help out, to connect with her, to connect with her listeners, to talk about some wonderful ideas, to help people. That's it. So let's come back to that. And step three follows. I would replace it if it was anxious or fear or whatever. And step four is repeat. The more we repeat this pattern, the more we go from the prefrontal cortex, which uses a lot of blood sugar, and we can't maintain that kind of concentration. Right. The thing about willpower and focus, awareness, attention, is we only have so much of it. We only have so much willpower. We only have so much awareness during the day. But the more awareness we bring to an intention, eventually, with repetition, with imagination, which we could talk about another day, perhaps how powerful your imagination is, with emotion, with visualization, it becomes what's called a pattern of association, and it acts unconsciously. And anyone we discover who is really mastering something, whether it's golfing or public speaking or whatever, it's because they're not thinking about it right now. They're letting the event unfold because they've already gone through that step. They've already gone through the initial hard work, the concentration, spending their time in their prefrontal cortex. And now it's various other parts of their limbic system, their motor cortex, their sensory cortex, their emotions, all working in unison. That's what mastery is. So to answer your question, we come back to that awareness that we're not our situation. We're not whatever predicament we found ourselves in. We are here. Where we're at right now is we are the captain of our ship, and our crewmates that are helping us go wherever we want to go include our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, and our expectations. When we have these crew members doing what they can do to take us where we want to go, no more stormy seas ahead. All we see is where we want to go. And we see it getting closer and closer with every breath.
And it's the blue ocean of opportunity and bliss. Mm-hmm. So on that note, thank you for sharing those 4 points. I hope the listeners have connected with that. You can listen to this recording, this episode, on demand on the Empowerment Channel. And we're going to just take a quick break and we'll be right back. I'd like to talk, Derek, with you a bit more about building that positive momentum, thinking about what it means to create better habits, tiny habits, in terms of building on these 4 steps. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more of Your Authentic Life here on the Empowerment Channel of Voice America.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Susan Cranston is ready to be your communications consultant. Susan is a writer, speaker, and former marketing executive with over 2 decades of experience. Susan also teaches various workshops, including Perfect Health and Meditation, which helps to manage stress, reduce anxiety, release emotional toxicity, increase strength, and nourish the mind, body, and spirit. If you have a writing or social media plan or need a motivational speaker for your upcoming event, visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Your Authentic Life with Susan Cranston. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to AuthenticaConsulting@gmail.com. That's AuthenticaConsulting@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's edition of Your Authentic Life.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm Susan Cranston, and I'm your host. And I'm here with my wonderful first guest, Derek Sweet, the founder of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and the CEO and founder of Certified Coaches Federation. And Derek, you and I were just talking about these 4 steps you shared in terms of what people can do to make some positive changes in their life and break away from this past conditioning. I'd like to spend a bit of time now talking about the importance of building momentum and incorporating habits, healthy habits, enriching habits, and how we might be able to start doing that in practical ways for people who feel like maybe their confidence has really been shattered and they're like, wow, this all sounds great in theory, but you know what? I'm not feeling so great about myself and I don't know where to start to make change happen. And it's a struggle for them in many cases just to get up in the morning and, you know, move on with their day. So what would you say might be, maybe just an example of someone who could start to take maybe tiny steps to incorporate some changes to break away from some of this conditioning that's really been constricting their ability to succeed and find bliss?
Well, first of all, to make the decision that you're going to do it, to fully commit to whatever the goal is. That's the first step, whether it's to quit smoking or have more patience with your kids or make more money, whatever. The second step is to be patient with yourself. I mean, sometimes I coach people and helping them lose weight. I mean, if it took you 24 years to get to this point that you weigh 50 pounds more than you'd like to, you have to be patient with yourself to lose that weight. Like any goal, you have to be patient. But how do we be patient when we're spending most of our time focusing on the end result? Well, that question, there's the answer in that question, by the way. And the answer is to stop focusing on that end result. Because if you're focusing on that end result, it's taking you out of the present moment. Well, the present moment is where you'll find all your potential. All the pixie dust is in the present moment, in the breath, right now. So when we decide that the reward is not in the result, the reward, and if you get this, if your listeners get this, man, they'll never live life the same again. They'll never be weighted down from whatever was holding them back in time ever, because you understand that it's not about the result, it's about the process. And there's lots of expressions around that, lots of sayings. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. So when I'm coaching someone, I say to them, whatever the goal is, I'll say, okay, once I find out what the goal is, I say right away, I say, can you now imagine that it's, say the goal is to start a business and make X number of dollars within a year. I'll say, can you now imagine that it's a year from now and you're now earning this amount of money or whatever it is, you've lost the 50 pounds, yes, can you imagine? If they say no, well, that's another conversation, but let's just say they said, yeah, I can. Well, here's the thing about that question. The beauty of that question, the structure of that question is you're not confined from the fear that's often in the present moment looking at a goal that hasn't been achieved yet. For a lot of people, when they look at a goal in the present moment, there's fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. But when we shift our perspective to the future, what happens is we're looking at the goal from a completely different view. We're looking at the goal from up the hill. We've already climbed the mountain. And when we look at it from that perspective, there's a sense of peace, calmness. Maybe we feel like celebrating. We feel victorious. That's what we want to bring back to the present moment in our quest to do whatever it is we want to do. So to answer your question, what we begin to do to take the chances is to, again, make a decision, to be patient, and the third one is to develop the right kind of perspective. And we've touched base on a lot of different perspectives, like you're not your thoughts, you have thoughts, you're not your beliefs, you have beliefs, you're not your feelings, you have feelings, etc. Okay? And that detachment allows you to engage in these things a lot easier.
And it does so because you are in a situation where you're not so intertwined that you can't be, as I said, that curious observer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the mindset, what we're doing when we visualize the goal already being achieved, we're using our imagination. And I always say to people when I'm coaching them, you know what, the number one, the most valuable asset you have is not in your investment account, it's not in your driveway, it's not even your house. The most valuable asset you have is your imagination, because it is the gateway to all things that are important to you right now. And the more effective you are at using your imagination, the more momentum, the more flow you're going to have. And that's why with any goal, even if it's a short-term goal that is due at the end of this week to a long-term goal the next year or 3 years or 10 years, the first thing I do once I establish the goal, and this is before I write down the steps to take, the first thing I do once I establish the goal is I go into the future and I ask myself certain questions. How do I feel? What? And I want to write down at least 4 to 6 words that describe how I feel, because I'm going to take that back to the present moment and I'm going to use it to stoke the fire of ambition and motivation and inspiration and creativity. It will stoke that fire. Because here's the thing, that is the payoff. It's not the result. It's how I expect it to feel when I achieve the result. If I can bring that payoff right here in this moment, then guess what? The steps to take to go from point A to point B become the payoff. And it's in the doing that the joy is found. Not in the done, but in the doing. Does that make sense?
And not the done, but in the doing. You let go of the sense of expectation, or the fight against impatience just melts away.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you can take that further, and we talked about this in our coaching program, you know, what obstacles came up that could have but didn't prevent you from achieving this goal. And you think about it, again, from a detached perspective, unlike the present moment, if you say, well, what obstacles can come up? See the difference in the feel?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of that comes down to hypnolinguistics, which you also teach and talk about extensively. The words we use to describe this.
Every word has a subjective value. Every word has an emotional value. Every word has a cognitive value. And you start to choose your words more carefully when you're aware of that. And even something that's negative, when I'm talking to someone about something that's negative, I start to frame it in the past. For example, if I'm coaching someone on losing weight, and we started off and we made some agreements that they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they're going to go to the gym, and great, we're going to speak in 2 weeks, and I call them up and I find out that they didn't go to the gym, and they gave me really good reasons, they're busy at work, etc. But then, because I'm a coach, I get to the truth of the matter, and I find out that there's a belief here. And the belief may be, you know what, every time I go on a diet, I always start off really well, and then I gain all the weight back. Well, that is something that we deal with in ourselves as well, okay? And we can put that as a coach. And in our own internal dialogue, when something from the past is brought into the present moment, it's like a weight we're carrying around. So here's what we do. We reframe it. We say, that's right, in the past, I would, when I'd go on a diet, I would start off really well, and in the past, I would gain the weight back. And today, I realize I can make different choices. And today, I realize I have more resources available to me. And today, I'm more committed than I've ever been. And by learning how to speak that way, we are basically, we're not arguing with ourselves, but we're reframing what happened. And we, by the process of putting the situation in the past with, in the past I was, whatever it is, you dilute the emotional impact of that thought. And when you also, at the same time, replace it with something that's more aligned with your intention, like, for example, and today I realize I'm more committed than I've ever been in the past, and I realize I have more resources available to me than I've ever had in the past. You start to feel much better about what you're creating in this moment, because, again, it comes down to awareness of your thoughts. And when you have the present mind awareness, you catch yourself when you're not being kind to yourself. And one thing I want to add also, and this is, I'm glad I just remembered this because it just kind of popped into my head. One thing that I recommend everyone do, you know, if your listeners, if you're at a point where you haven't achieved this kind of momentum I'm talking about right now, here's a way to fast track it. And you're going to like this. You may want to write this down. Here's how you fast track it. From now on, at least once a day, when you're looking in the mirror, when you're by yourself, maybe in the bathroom getting ready for your day, or at the end of the day when you're getting ready to go to bed, at least once a day, you quietly, when you're by yourself, hopefully, when you're by yourself, you look at that reflection in that mirror and you say something kind. You say something that supports who you are and what you'd like to experience and what you can do tomorrow. And you perhaps celebrate yourself and celebrate something that happened today. And you acknowledge something good that you're doing today, or the contribution you made to someone else's life today. The bottom line is, when you make it a habit to practice self-love through self-talk that's consistent with your intention, that is also not only conditioning your subconscious mind, it's also healthy detachment. It's recognizing at some level that you're not your body, you're not your thoughts, you're not your life even. You have a life, you have thoughts, you have a body. And it's that place of coming from the witness that is the same as coming from this source of possibility, this source of whatever you want to call it. I like to call it bliss, but it's a source that we all can tap into, and we're all in at the same time when we have the right kind of commitment to this moment, this kind of awareness to this moment. And it is absolutely bliss. And when you know what, when you meet other people who are practicing this kind of consciousness, you just feel it from them. I know, Susan, you practice this kind of consciousness. And we want to share this with everyone. I really believe, you know, when we take a look at the world, there's so much that can be improved with our collective shifts in consciousness. I really believe we're at a point in history where, you know, you watch the news at night, it can be quite depressing if you take it literally, if you take it seriously. But there's so many good things happening to teach people how to think. And I believe collectively, as more people learn how, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, quantitative analysis or rocket science. We're talking about some simple things we can all do to make our life have more joy and more flow. And the more we share this with all the people we know, we will see some major shifts in the world going forward.
We certainly will. And on that really inspirational note, Derek, I just want to thank you because you've agreed to be a regular guest on Your Authentic Life. And I'm absolutely, you know, just delighted beyond, almost beyond words to have you back again. And I would like to explore some of these topics in greater detail with you. So I want to thank you so much for being my premier guest on Your Authentic Life here on Voice America's Empowerment Channel. Derek, can you quickly say how callers can reach you?
Well, we have a new coaching program. If this is something you'd like to consider exploring, we have, if you go to wealthitforward.com or howdreamsbecomereality.com, you can learn about our coaching program. And the coaching program is about helping people become healthy, wealthy, and wise from a physical perspective, an emotional perspective, certainly a financial perspective as well.
Good. Good. Thank you so much. I've so appreciated having you on the show. I think we've given our callers some great insights. Stay tuned. We're going to be back next Wednesday, 11 o'clock Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my guest will be Amanda Weber. And we'll be talking about self-compassion and what to do next when you wish you had a do-over from mistakes. So thank you, Derek. And thank you, listeners. I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you for enjoying this week's edition of Your Authentic Life. Please tune into the show again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please join Susan Cranston for another peek at Your Authentic Life.